So we question, is Jesus really who he says he is? There's speculation. A lot of people you talk to have different ideas of who Jesus says he is. In fact, he even asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? As we move through Lent toward Easter, I'm reminded how many growing up were discouraged to ask questions. They were discouraged to ask different things that they struggled with. They were taught that it was a sin to question anything about God. This is what you're supposed to believe. Just go with it. There's a movie coming out next month called The Case for Christ. And there are invitations to this movie out in the fellowship area. It's the true story of a journalist, Lee Strobel, who was a devout atheist, and his wife is a newfound Christian. And he begins a 2-year in-depth study to disprove the divinity of Christ and stop her nonsense. I'd like to show you a video clip, the same one that we watched last week, where a very frustrated Lee Strobel is he's sitting in the newsroom of the Chicago Tribune, and he's trying to figure out what to do with all this evidence that he's uncovering that was consistently pointing him toward the truth of Christ. Then in the middle of this contemplative moment, Strobel's co-worker Kenny London walks in. He's the Tribune's religion editor. And he walks in and he senses the situation and how he might help.
What are you doing here? I thought you were banished. Hey. What's the matter?
You people and your God, you just, you know, you talk in circles, you offer just enough evidence, but never enough to be conclusive. Then you fill in all the gaps with, oh, well, yeah, you just gotta have faith. It's a bunch of nonsense.
You're really irritating, you know that?
Don't start with me, Kenny.
You don't waste a lick of time bragging to all of us how great a reporter you are. So why can't you put up or shut up on this story?
What are you even talking about?
Here's where the chili meets the cheese, my friend. One of my heroes was C.S. Lewis, a man who began as a skeptic, much like yourself. At the end of his journey, you know what he said? He said if Christianity is false, it's of zero importance. But if it's true, there's nothing more important in the entire universe. So you want your wife back? Well, hey, guess what? People in hell want ice water. Not everybody gets everything they want. Stop blaming me and the church and God. And do your job. Stack up the evidence, follow the facts, and write the story, win or lose.
When people we know struggle to believe, it's because of spiritual sticking points. When this happens, and we hit a spiritual sticking point, we end up unable to move forward in our faith because we're stuck. Lee Strobel was stuck. The Ethiopian eunuch was stuck. He wanted to believe, but he didn't know how to interpret the scriptures. He wanted to believe in something bigger, and he wanted to understand, but he was at a sticking point. Last week we talked about how some people can't believe. For others, the real issue is that they don't want to believe, like Lee Strobel. This week I want to share two other sticking points that most people struggle with and what to do about them. So the third spiritual sticking point is I don't know what to believe. For our friend, the Ethiopian eunuch, the sticking point was that he didn't know what to believe. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? Now you can see how the passage would have been confusing. So Philip clarified what the Bible was teaching. Today, people get all confused because they hear different interpretations of the Bible. They see different denominations and they hear some people who take the Bible literally and some people who say it's just a general moral guideline and everything in between. And they see people using the Bible to prove contradictory points. They throw their hands up and they say, I don't know what to believe. It seems like the meaning of the Bible changes according to whoever interprets it, whoever is right. And you have to admit, some really whacked stuff has come out of so-called Christian experts of faith. If that's your sticking point, it's really important to know that the key to accurately understanding the Bible is the same as the key to understanding any kind of communication. You have to study it to determine for yourself what the writer actually meant, not what we want it to say. We can't interpret it for our benefit with our biases. But to figure out what the writer intended to communicate in his setting is what we need to do. We need to figure out what he was trying to communicate and who he was trying to communicate to. And this is important because sometimes we let what we want the Bible to say get in the way of what it's really saying. Communication is tricky. For example, let's look at this sentence. Somebody want to read the first sentence? Opposed to the second sentence, which is, let's eat, comma, grandma. We also learn that commas save lives. You see how interpretations and punctuation and what exactly the writer is saying and who he's speaking to. In the first, you see the writer is obviously speaking to other people, not speaking to grandma. Speaking to other people about what they're going to do with grandma. In the second, the writer is obviously speaking to grandma. So, all sorts of different things color the way we interpret the scripture. And people do that with the Bible to get around teachings they don't agree with or that don't apply to their lives. Clear statements in the Bible suddenly become very murky when we're looking for ways to avoid them. I like to point out that there, in the original writings, there is no punctuation. No punctuation in the original texts. So oftentimes, in our convenience, as we're saying the Lord's Prayer, we say, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us, right? There's no comma there. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. Changes a lot. Now, there's different sections of the Bible and well-intentioned people who can legitimately debate the finer points. But when it comes to the critical message the central message of what you and I need to know the most, there's no ambiguity. It's crystal clear. John 3:16 tells us clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to know something. And that verse is very clear about the central truth that we need to know. And there's no ambiguity or confusion about it. And that brings us to a fourth spiritual sticking point. I believe, isn't that enough? Well, these people say, I understand the gospel and I believe it's true, but I don't feel God like other people do. I don't necessarily feel the relationship like other people do. When I pray, I don't necessarily feel God's presence. I pray because I believe God hears me, but I don't feel it. What am I doing wrong? Well, that's because merely agreeing with the gospel isn't enough. It's not enough to just understand. In fact, James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God. Even the demons believe that. Even the demons believe and shudder. It's not enough to just nod our heads in intellectual agreement and say, yes, I believe in God. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. As many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So believing is the first step, but we also then need to receive. Romans 6:23 says that eternal life is a free gift. We don't earn it. But think about a Christmas gift. It doesn't become yours until you reach out and receive it. Otherwise, it just sits unclaimed, unopened, underneath the tree. There's a simple spiritual equation that flows out of John 1:12. Believing plus receiving equals becoming. We can't become true children of God until we receive, until we have both elements. We must believe in him intellectually, and then we must receive his forgiveness. Now, that's what the Ethiopian eunuch did. He learned the meaning of the scripture passage he was reading, and then he believed. But then he also received the free gift of salvation by trusting in the promised Messiah, by demonstrating this through his baptism. The result, he became a child of God. He had a new life in Christ. Now God blessed him. And this eunuch was swept away in the joy of forgiveness and a new life in Christ. And the story in Acts concludes like this. They traveled along the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. What can stand in the way of me becoming baptized? And he gave the orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch got down, and they went into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. But he went on his way rejoicing. Not today. Jenna and Tyler accepted Christ on behalf of Vincent. Thankfully, I was not suddenly swept away. But I believe that your family will go on your way rejoicing in the declaration of your commitment to Christ. And all of us will go on our way rejoicing as we now nurture and support this wonderful child in his faith journey. Where are you? Where are you on your journey of investigating the case for Christ? What obstacles stand in your way? Now can be the time during this Lenten season that you get past your sticking points once and for all. This is an opportunity, friends. If you believe the truth and receive Christ, you can become a child of God. If you want to take that step, I would ask that we all bow our heads. If you're ready to take this step, pray this with me now. Holy God, I don't know everything about you, but this much I believe. I am living in a broken world, marred by sin. I sin in my everyday choices that harm your world and your children. I believe that accepting Jesus Christ can change my life. I realize and am sorry for the sin in my life and reach out to receive the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased for me on the cross. I want to become your beloved child. Thank you for your grace. Now please fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead my life from this day forward. Amen. If this was your prayer today, congratulations. In the weeks ahead, I hope that you will continue to attend as we reveal some solid truths that led Lee Strobel to abandon his atheism and embrace Christ's divinity. And I hope that you will be blessed as we prove that Christ is really who he says he is. If indeed you're interested in watching this movie with us, please pick up an invitation in the back in the fellowship area before you leave. It says that the family here at Crossroads is going, and if you are a guest or would like to bring a guest, they come for free. It's on us. It's our treat.